Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, it's Thursday, and I get to continue my conversation with the great Dick Morris. I would never say the great Dick Morris if he were sitting in the room, except, oh no, I've just said it, and here he is. Dick Morris, you have a new book out, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. We ended yesterday our conversation with you speculating that Hillary would end up being his opponent. What do you say to the idea, which many have said, that Michelle Obama would be put forward, that she had, there's just a film out now, salemnow.com is carrying the film, which makes the case that she is a hidebound Chicago Marxist, exactly like her husband, Barack. Yeah,
I think that's probably accurate, but she's also a rich one. And I think that the last time there was an issue of her running, she decided not to do it in 16. And I don't think that she's going to change, but she might. If she ran, she'd be the best candidate the Democrats could put up. But it wouldn't last long because the issue, her, I don't think she could go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump on issues. Trump is a walking encyclopedia of this stuff. But we'll see. I don't want to speculate. But the more likely scenario is Hillary, because as I was saying before we broke, is that Sanders will jump out to the lead, and the Democratic establishment will come to Hillary begging her to stop Sanders, which is just what happened in 16.
And in 20 with Biden.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It happened in 16. Yeah. And in 20 with Biden. That's true. They went to Biden.
But, obviously, they said, yeah, we got to stop this in South Carolina. Let's stop it.
Sure. You're right. But the and I think that Hillary will run. I think that, and I was explaining that she always advances masked in disguise because she knows people don't like her. So it's not vote for me. It's vote for the first woman. It's vote for the first, for someone to continue Bill's policies. Now it's don't vote for me, it's vote to stop Sanders. And she always insists on wearing in disguise a cause to her candidacy that's more profound than electing her, because she knows nobody wants to do that.
Yes, because people are aware of her corruption and cynicism. Well, not that those are bad things. Who are we to judge? I think most people, she's extraordinarily unlikable, but there are a number of folks out there who are not likable. But you're convinced that she would be, if you had to bet today, she's the candidate against Trump.
Yes, yes.
There's something really delicious in that. I have to say, it ought to be funny.
The dynamics of the Democratic Party will force it because there's nobody else who can reliably defeat Sanders, and the fact that she's already done so.
But no one ever talks about Sanders. It's interesting you bring him up because it makes sense. But, I mean, he's been lying back in the wings.
Washington forgets that he exists.
With his mittens.
The only time they realize he exists is when he is number one in the polling.
Right. Well, okay, so there's so many ways we can go here. But Trump on the issues. Let's talk about the issue of immigration. Ann Coulter has been bitterly against him, really, for the last 5 years, because she claims he did nothing. He did not do what he said he was going to do, which is build the wall. There's some truth to that. I never can understand how much truth there is to that.
What's that big thing on the border?
Well, it's not a monolithic 2,000-foot-long wall. I mean, he built some of the wall.
I think he built all of it.
No, he certainly didn't build all of it. Nobody would say he built all of it except you just now. But he seems to have wanted to, and the Democrats made it effectively impossible for him to do it. But if there were a wall, we wouldn't have these immigration problems,
well,
correct?
He stopped immigration during his term. So
that
obviously
he did.
It worked.
Well, no, he did that, but I'm saying that he vowed to build a wall.
The wall is not for tourists to visit it. It's to stop illegals from coming in,
right.
And it did.
Right.
The interesting thing about his speech yesterday was what he said about immigration that I think was fascinating, which is that he explained how he achieved the Remain in Mexico policy in the way that he had never explained before.
Yeah.
He told me about it, but he'd never said it publicly. He said that he knew that he needed to keep them in Mexico because once the immigrants came to the U.S., they got all the constitutional rights of citizens,
right.
Even though they were here illegally.
Right.
And the only way to stop that was to keep them in Mexico.
Right.
So López Obrador is a communist, basically.
The head of Mexico.
Yeah. And he wasn't about to help Trump. And Trump got him to put 28,000 troops on the border on the Mexican side to apprehend immigrants and solve Trump's problems for him. And the way Trump did that was that he renegotiated NAFTA, free trade, and made it into a very advantageous deal for Mexico and for the U.S. And then he went to Mexico and said, okay, if you do not post these troops on the border— he said graphically, he said that was a Friday. He said on Monday morning at 8 a.m., there will be a 25% U.S. tariff on any imports coming from Mexico, which in one stroke would destroy their entire economy. And López Obrador said, we would be honored to put the troops on the border.
But, I mean, of course, that's what leaders do. And they're supposed to use our power, whether it's soft power or hard power. But the point is that that's great leadership. It's brilliant thinking and strategizing. But free market fetishists would say, oh, no, you shouldn't use tariffs.
That's just a bad idea.
Every
company that does business in Mexico that has investments there for products coming to the U.S. would be suddenly broke, and they would go crazy. That position was so controversial. And the only reason that Obrador might not have succumbed to it is he wouldn't have believed Trump had the stones to do that. But he did. He announced it publicly, and he said he was going to do that. And then he did something else that really is important. He didn't mention in the speech, but we need to understand it. He required, as part of the new NAFTA, that any car coming into the United States from Mexico must have been made by workers who are paid $15 an hour or more. In other words, for the first time in history, he built good wages into a trade agreement. Usually it's a race to the bottom. But his reasoning was that if we let them pay these people $2 and $3 an hour, they'll put American workers out of business. So he made them pay them $15 an hour. So, I mean, that's like the best job in Mexico.
Well, it's also a human rights issue. In other words, when we can use our power to help people in other countries, I mean, it's a wonderful thing that he was able to
do
that.
But the left is always rejecting free trade agreements, like with Colombia or with Peru. Because they say, oh, it'll just encourage cutthroat competition, a race to the bottom, and they'll end up paying their people like dirt.
Right.
And that's true. But Trump used the power of the trade agreement to raise wages to $15 an hour, which is a liberal goal, the minimum wage, because he said that if we don't do that for Mexican workers, we won't be able to get high wages for American workers. It was such a brilliant move and so counter to the orthodox ideology, it's breathtaking.
Well, in order for any of this good stuff to happen in 2024, we have to get through where we are now. I and most Americans have been just deeply sickened at this phony, wicked January 6th narrative that's being put forward to demonize Trump and his supporters in a way we've really never seen in American life. It is just a monstrous abdication of the most fundamental American values, and it's participated in by the entire journalistic establishment, the entire left in politics, and many on the right who have gone along with this narrative, including some people in Trump's who were in Trump's cabinet.
Yeah, the purpose of all of this is to weaken Trump to a point where he gets a primary. That's the overriding objective of the Democratic Party. And anybody who sits out there who says, I like what Trump did, but I don't like his personality,
right,
wouldn't it be better to have DeSantis?
Right.
Should understand that they are reelecting the Democrats when they say
that. Well, exactly.
And
excuse me.
That was the goal of the January 6th committee.
Okay, that's, my goodness. We'll be right back. More with Dick Morris. The book is The Return, Trump's Big 2024.
You winked and gave me your okay. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
We're talking to Dick Morris, who is the author of The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. You say unequivocally, and you back it up in the book, that Trump will be the candidate 2024. Trump will win in 2024. What are some of the other issues that he needs to run on? We talked about immigration.
Well, the three big ones are inflation, immigration, and crime. And the program he outlined yesterday in his, in effect, State of the Union speech for his second term.
Yeah.
About crime was fantastic. It amounts to something very similar to what the left really did with education, but it worked out nefariously for that, but crime is different, which is basically to federalize the issue. He basically said that the mayors and the governors of the country are not doing a good job in controlling crime. They won't. And I'm going to step in with the federal government to preempt them to deal with crime.
He said, so how is that, speaking as conservatives or somebody with conservative principles, how is that not an anti-conservative, anti-states' rights, anti-small government idea? In other words, couldn't this go wrong by subsidizing bad leadership in blue states and blue cities like Chicago and New York and so on?
It is exactly what you described, an anti-small government, anti-traditional conservative view, just like his insistence on stopping free trade with China and stopping free flow of labor with Mexico fits that definition. But he thinks it's in the interest of the American people, and he doesn't give a damn about the ideology, which is why he draws such opposition.
Well, but the only reason I would bring that up is because, to me, I don't think we should be hidebound ideologues, and whenever anybody is, I think it's ridiculous. You have to be practical. But I guess the question is, could this practically backfire by propping up bad leaders like Lori Lightfoot?
Well, it's not going to prop them up. It's going to preempt them. Basically, what he's doing is taking crime away from the local mayors and saying you're no longer in charge of your own police department. The way he'd do it is the subterfuge we use to force everybody to use seatbelts. We couldn't do it as a federal action. So we passed a law saying you can't get transportation money unless you require everyone to wear seatbelts. So it's completely discretionary. And the court upheld it. And here we have funding under the LEAA, the Law Enforcement Assistance Act. And we can condition that based on not having no cash bail, having cash bail, based on mandatory minimum sentences, based on stop and frisk policies that Trump advocated yesterday, which is basically gun control for criminals. And what Trump was really saying is I'm going to federalize those issues and I'm going to make it a federal responsibility to keep our cities safe if the local mayors and governors don't do that. He even said that when they absolutely abdicate, I'll send in the National Guard whether or not it's requested by the governors. And that's a radical step, but it is the kind of step that is vital to be able to deal with this epidemic of crime that's taking over our country.
Now, why do you suppose he didn't do that in 2020? In other words, he could have, but it was almost like...
Crime wasn't that bad.
Well, I think it was also a political calculation that he needed to, you know, let the Democrats live with their decisions.
No, basically, crime was about where it had been for years. We had a huge crime rate in the 80s and 90s. Then it came down, frankly, in large part because of the policies of my old boss, Bill Clinton. Mandatory minimum sentences, 100,000 extra cops, controls on purchasing of handguns, you know, waiting periods. And it was very effective. And the crime rate dropped throughout the 90s. And by 2000, crime wasn't much of a problem. And it hasn't been since then. But then Biden brought it all back. And Trump's completely right that the cities are run by a clique of Democratic mayors and governors whose policies perpetuate crime. And if you're going to stop it, you're going to have to take control. The metaphor I'm using was that the schools used to be terrible throughout the country. They still are. But everybody said it's a state responsibility, not federal. And Clinton came in and said, and Bush came in and said, no, it's federal. And the No Child Left Behind and all that stuff. The solution was charter schools and break the union. But the point was he federalized that responsibility. And now I think we're going to have the same pattern with crime. And I think that will result in an entirely new regime in terms of crime and truly solve this problem.
Well, you mentioned education. The Marxist madness that has infected the whole country and the culture, the trans madness, it seems that that's one place where DeSantis has been wonderfully bold and outspoken, and a handful of other people have been. I know Trump has been to some extent too, but is there anything that can be done? I think maybe Betsy DeVos, who was the Secretary of Education under Trump, has called for the abolition of the Department of Education, which I actually think would be a good thing. In other words, I think that a lot of this federal bureaucracy would just be better going away. What do you suppose?
Okay, but that's not high on my list of priorities nor of Trump's. The answer to the trans sports stuff and the parental rights is twofold. First of all, I think Trump is going to advocate, he hasn't yet, but we've talked about it, a federal requirement that every school board have a majority of parents on it.
That's a novel idea.
As a condition of federal education aid.
And
that they be chosen in separate elections in which parents can vote. Secondly, I think the other element that could solve it is you very simply do it with the stroke of a pen. We have a non-discrimination Title 10, Title 9 that says girls' sports and boys' sports have to be funded equally in school. And Biden has twisted and perverted it in an Orwellian way to say that it's discrimination against women, to discriminate against women in favor of gays. And sanction that, allow that. What Trump just needs to do is to reaffirm the original text and say that bringing men into girls' sports is disempowering women and messing up girls' sports. They don't get scholarships. They don't win. and he could disallow it. He could literally do that with an executive order.
Well, it's amazing because there's nothing more commonsensical than this. I mean, there's almost no one in America who thinks that, you know, large men should be allowed to compete against women in sports.
There should be three competitions, men, women, and trans, and let them have their own medal. Let them have their own races. If anybody gives a damn, they can watch it. But don't pollute the female sports.
Yeah, well, look, again, it seems so basic, and it takes leadership, courage, strength to enact these things. But I think most Americans would applaud if a national leader were willing to do this. They applaud when somebody like DeSantis does it in Florida.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I think that Trump will be reelected, is because people are looking for someone with common sense solutions, but who also has the willingness to fight. My beef mainly against establishment Republicans is their willingness to lie down and let the Democrats win. In other words, it's because of George W. Bush and so many others that we are now where we are. We could talk about China. They allowed China to become what it is today, and that was part of it, of course, was the – on the left, you have the ignorance about evil and communism. On the right, you have this idolization of the free market and how the free market is just going to spawn Ben Franklin's and Tom Jefferson's all across China, which didn't happen.
But it was also on the left a desire to make money.
No. Greed is at the heart of it. But I'm still saying that I think that they were – they've always been naive about communism and evil.
Was Bill Clinton's in allowing China into the World Trade Organization. China had a negative balance of trade with the United States. That's negative to China before they joined the WTO. And then after that, they spawned over $1 billion surplus with it. But in terms of our policy toward China now, I think that Trump was brilliant in understanding the nature of the challenge China poses, which is not primarily military, and it's not primarily economic. It's primarily intellectual, because they run their country with a totalitarian system based on the social acceptance score, with social virtue, whatever they call it. And it's like a credit rating. Everybody has one. And every time they make a transaction, it's recorded. And in this case, the transaction is you go to a website that's a Western website, or you sign a petition, or you don't do something you're supposed to do. And everybody in China has a social acceptance score. And if it's too low, they can't even board planes or trains.
Dick, this is called tyranny and slavery. There is no other word for it. This is as wicked, as inhuman as it gets, and we have enabled that in a nation of 1.3 billion. How much is it?
1.4, but we have also allowed them to export it.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we need to talk about this. It doesn't get more important than that. We'll be right back talking to Dick Morris, author of The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback.
Every light is shining through the window. Let me know everything's all right.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code ERIC. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC.
Folks, we're talking to Dick Morris. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We just ended on the question, or on the issue, of how China is exporting the utterly wicked Marxist inhuman ideas of communism, of the way they do business. There's a tyranny, totalitarian tyranny. They've been successful in exporting that around the world, and feckless, gutless Americans, many on the right, have allowed them to do this.
Yeah, we were talking about the social acceptance score that with which China rules its own people, saying that you need to have a certain score to be able to get a job or get housing or even to board a train or a plane. And that's based on your willingness to kowtow to the government. But they are pushing Huawei, which is the leading one of the leading companies in China. And it supplies 5G networks to the rest of the world. And it embeds in that 5G network the capability to develop a social acceptance score in every country with every person. And the idea is that Eric Metaxas and Dick Morris, who are not in China, will have a score. Too low for zero, Elton John once said. but we'll have a score. And the way they'll enforce that is China now is a major shareholder in 2,400 major U.S. companies. I explain this in my book. And they can go to those companies and say, hey, I don't want Dick Morris having a TV show and I own 12% of your company. Or I don't want Eric Metaxas to have a TV show. I don't want Joe Blow to have a job, or I want somebody else promoted. And they can intervene in the corporate decisions of the companies that they control economically. And by the way, I just do not want to belabor the point, but it's been out there a lot. But the fact that China has its employee as president of the United States is unbelievable. Not just Hunter Biden, not just all of that, but Blinken, the Secretary of State, earned his living for 4 years as the executive director of the Biden Institute in University of Pennsylvania that got most of its funding from an anonymous source, which everybody believes to be China.
And this is the level of corruption. It's out of some end times film.
Biden made over $1 million personally from that. But they play, you know, Clinton had the Clinton Foundation where his staff hung out when he was out of power. Biden had the Biden Institute for Peace and Diplomacy, and that is funded by China secretly. University of Pennsylvania has refused to release the donors, and the head of the University of Pennsylvania just accepted an ambassadorship from Biden. And it is as corrupt as it can possibly get.
Okay, so Trump understands this.
I forgot the other thing. Trump put the founder of Huawei and one of the leaders, in jail. He had her arrested in Canada because she violated our sanctions with Iran. And he had her picked up and locked up, and Biden let her go.
Are we surprised? No. So we just got a few minutes left. What would Trump do? This is satanic. China's tyranny, totalitarian, inhuman, cruel, utterly atheistic, certainly anti-Christian, inhuman policies are being perpetrated around the world because of gutless people like Joe Biden. What will a President Trump do about this?
Well, the first thing he'll do is what he said in his speech last night. He will punish the second greatest crime after the Holocaust that's been committed in recent time, the spread of COVID. And he will punish that by punishing trade with the U.S. and China and debt payments. The United States pays China roughly $1 trillion roughly $100 billion every year in interest payments on its debt and in trade surplus to China. And we can stop that. We can literally cut it out.
Right, but we need a president with the guts to do that. And I can't think of anybody besides Donald Trump who has the guts to do something
yeah,
like that.
The guts, the stones, and the impervious sense of my way or the highway. And we have to understand that it is not Trump's assets that do that. It's his defects the things we don't like about Donald Trump.
I would not necessarily, the self-possession,
the conceit, the insistence on getting his way, the bias of his personality against people who offend him. It's those defects that make him a good president.
Well, to some extent.
I've worked so closely with him. I've seen that over and over.
Yeah. I mean, I would quibble with you because I think it cuts both ways. I think that none of us is perfect, and Trump has some big flaws, but it does, in a sense, I'm agreeing and disagreeing simultaneously with what you just said. But you're really convinced not just that he'll run, but that he'll be back as president. That would be a dream come true for many Americans.
Yeah, it would. And it will be ultimately an incredible salvation for this country. And, you know, they'll get to try to impeach him a third and a fourth time.
That's right. Three-peat. Here we go. So seconds left. Who do you think his vice president would be?
Well, I think it's possible of a deal with DeSantis. I think that could happen. Other than that, whoever he likes, whoever he doesn't really
hate. At that minute, could be one of us. Who knows? Keep your fingers crossed. Dick Morris, it's a joy to have you here in the studio. Congratulations on the book, The Return. We'd love to get you back.
It's worth writing a book to get an interview with you.
Oh, right. Of course. We'll be back with more folks. And we'll be back with you, Dick Morris, because I know you're in New York and we want you back. So thank you.
Thank you.
Times were right overnight. We were headline news. Crazy days and reckless nights. I was going out.
Hey, folks, we're going to do a segment here, a little segment that we like to call A Listener Writes. Because people who listen to this program or watch this program do write in.
Yeah.
We read everything. And some of the letters are charming and friendly and encouraging. Some of them are just peevish and nasty. It's amazing how many peevish, nasty people are out there and take the trouble. I guess they have nothing else to do to just bring you down a little bit. Yeah. But now and again, we get... I mean, more often than not, we get wonderful letters. And we had one. I said, why don't we read this one, Albin? Because people probably want to know what I have to read on a daily basis. So this one.
That's right.
Actually, no, this is funny. This is good.
Yeah.
This one, a woman named Lynn writes in and she says the subject header is, it says Martin Luther, but she puts in his original name. I mean, back in the 15th century. The name was Luther or Lutger or you know, Luther was what it became eventually.
See, I did not know that. I thought she had mistyped,
right.
She might say.
Well, that's because you didn't read my book.
I didn't.
Which makes you a communist.
No, but I did read it.
Okay.
I missed that.
Yeah, I know. It's, okay. But so this person, Lynn, writes, Eric, you signed a huge stack of your various books for me at Calvary Chapel in Chattanooga last spring. It was a pleasure seeing and hearing you. I'm reading your Martin Luther book right now, and it is blowing me away. Now, I do have to say, people really, really love the Martin Luther book, and I think I'm particularly proud of it, of all the books that I have written for many reasons. But there's just something about it which I won't go into. But it makes me very happy that people are seeing it as kind of the definitive biography on him, which. I think it is in some ways, so only because
he lived in crazy times, and that's why it's so much fun to read about the times and the man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so this woman writes, I'm reading a Martin Luther book right now. It's blowing me away. The book is so interesting, like all your others. Thank you so much for writing it. Okay, then she says, I just got off a six-week job for a, now I can't mention the name, but a major... shoot, okay, photo shoot. One of the videographer's names was Martin. I asked him who he was named for, and his response was a very disdainful, I'm certainly not named for Martin Luther. Now, I don't know, maybe he was Catholic or something, I don't know, but he says, I certainly wasn't named for Martin Luther. And then he added, probably my parents named me after Martin Luther King. And now this woman, Lynn, says, I knew that was not true because of his age. and the world of 1953, where I guess he was born in that era. And I was able to innocently ask him if he realized, are you ready for the punchline, that Martin Luther King was named after Martin Luther. Now, that is in the beginning of my book. That's one of the many shocking revelations you'll read in my Martin Luther book. There, now, I joke, but it's actually true. I uncovered a handful of things, that, and this happens almost every time I write a book, that I am myself just astonished that I discovered something that no one had seen before. In the Is Atheism Dead book, there are several of those. But in the Martin Luther book, there were a few things that I was genuinely astonished, because Martin Luther, you know, it's like Abraham Lincoln. How many people have written about Martin Luther? This is such a major figure. So I discovered a number of things, but one of them was, which is what this woman Lynn is alluding to, that Martin Luther King Jr. and his father, Martin Luther King Sr., they changed their names. Their names were Michael King and Michael King Jr. And Michael King Sr. in the 1930s went to on a trip to the Holy Land. On the way back, it was a bunch of black Baptist pastors went to the Holy Land in the 30s and then went to Germany. And he was so impressed by the life of Martin Luther that he changed his name as an adult from Michael King to Martin Luther King. And his son, around age 12, I think, followed suit and changed his name to Martin Luther King Jr. It's amazing. And people called Martin Luther King Jr., MLK, they called him Mike. People who grew up with him always called him Mike. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this woman writes in, I tried to explain to this guy on the photo shoot about Martin Luther King Jr.'s father changing his name, but the guy was so confused by then, he didn't know what to say. It can be confusing if you really don't like Martin Luther and you think, well, but I was named after Martin Luther King Jr., and then you find out, oh, that's a problem. So this is called ironic.
Yeah.
Personally, though this is the writer Lynn, had heard of Martin Luther my entire life, I realize now I knew absolutely nothing about this brave man who changed the course of the world and Christianity. The book is so interesting. Thank you so much for writing it, Lynn. Now, I just want to say again, it means a lot to me when anybody writes in, and we're still at a point when where I'm able to read everything that people write in. So I don't want to encourage you to write in, because then maybe I won't be able to read everything because it's getting tough. But I do, every now and again, we're able to respond, or I respond. And but when I think what the takeaway for me from this was that, you know, when you write these books, you put them out there and you never know when somebody's going to pick it up and read it. I mean, this book came out in 2017 for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And I hope for decades to come, people will continue to read about the great Martin Luther, because I as I said, there are things in the book that there aren't in any other books. And I'm really proud of having ferreted out these essentially important details. So I should mention, you know, before we close, if you want to buy any of my books, almost all of them are available at mystore.com. You click under books. Almost all of my books, the Donald books, the kids books, the humor books, the Donald Drains the Swamp books, the Donald the Caveman books, all that stuff is at mystore.com. Use the code Eric and get a whopping discount. All right, that concludes this portion of A Listener Writes. Thank you, Lynn, from Chattanooga.
There's a must-see new movie on salemnow.com called Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. Film director Joel Gilbert takes a deep dive into the life of Michelle Obama, from Chicago to Princeton to Martha's Vineyard. He says Michelle Obama will run for president in 2024 and base her candidacy on a life story that is more racially divisive and nearly as fictitious as that of her husband, Barack. Check out the stunning new movie on Salem Now, Michelle Obama 2024. Michelle is following the same formula as Barack to become president, a best-selling autobiography, the keynote convention speaker, and a voter registration organization. First Barack and now Michelle Obama want to transform America. Michelle Obama 2024, now playing at salemnow.com. This new movie has stunning, game-changing revelations about Michelle Obama's past. The film director says only the truth can stop her. Michelle Obama 2024, watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com, Michelle Obama 2024. Check it out. We'll be right back.
We just have a few minutes left, Alvin. We got a lot of stuff to get in here before we go. First of all, we can't talk about the Ron Howard film. You and I and Chris saw it last night. It's astonishing. I think probably this week, Friday, I think I'm supposed to interview Ron Howard about it. So we can't talk about it, but astonishing stuff.
Yeah, it's called
harrowing, realistic, astonishing filmmaking. Okay.
13 Lives. We can at least say it's called 13 Lives. We'll talk more about it next week, I think, or maybe on Friday. But yeah, 13 Lives.
Okay. And but so that's going to be a big deal, interviewing Ron Howard. I also should mention, speaking of interviewing big deals, we are taping the late night show, the talk show with Eric Metaxas in the studio downstairs here at TBN, August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 8th. This is a huge deal. Let me say, if you can't be there, would you do me a personal favor? Would you pray, if you're a praying person? Would you pray? Because this is a very big deal. We're taping four inaugural episodes. We have huge guests. We have George Hamilton. Talk about a Hollywood legend. There's nobody he doesn't know. It's kind of like my friend Pat Boone. I mean, it's just insane that this guy has been, I mean, he knows everyone from the 50s to the present. He has been everywhere. And I aspire to have a tan just like his. But he's going to be my guest. We've got Danny Bonaducci. I mean, if you're not impressed by that, trust me, I'm impressed enough for the both of us. I am out of my mind that I get to hang out with Danny from the Partridge Family. Some of you will get that. If you don't get it, just go with it. It's going to be nuts. Nuts. I am so excited about that. We have Vincent Pastore of The Sopranos. We have the guy behind Rao's, the restaurant. Some of you like buy Rao's, you know, sauce. Well, there's this tiny restaurant up in Italian Harlem. It's like barely exists anymore, like a mafia hangout. We're going to be talking to him about, you know, mafia cooking and murder. And also the supermodel Carol Alt.
Yes.
She's becoming – well, you got a lot of other guests that aren't –
Just don't talk to her about those things.
No, about the murder, no. But we're going to talk – and by the way, we stand firmly against murder.
We do.
Yeah, publicly. Privately, you know, some people need killing.
Maybe.
But the point is, publicly, we're against murder.
Again it.
We're again it. And so we want to say that those dates, if you go to ericmetaxas.com, you can see under the schedule – how to sign up to be here. It's going to be fun. I'm telling you, it's going to be a blast. You're going to meet some of these people. You're going to meet me and Albin and whoever. This is going to be an amazing, amazing thing. And if you can come or you know anybody who can be there, we've got a gorgeous theater downstairs. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's amazing. It's where we filmed our Christmas special 3 years ago. So I want to remind you that if we had many of you there, if you can get there, it'll be more fun for us. But we're going to have a full audience. Don't worry. There's like people who come to New York looking for stuff to do, so we will have a full audience. So that's good. But also, I want to ask you very sincerely to pray, because this is a big deal. You know, this is not just a, hey, we want to put on a show. We want to change the world. We want to do some things that maybe haven't been done. And I want to say that really soberly
and
sincerely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question about that. So. Anyway, that's important. And I also want to say, did I mention about Nutramedics?
No, you didn't. Just a couple days left.
I didn't mention that?
No.
At the beginning of the segment? No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes. Nutramedics.com. Only a couple days left for you to get 30% off everything on the website. Nutramedics.com. If you use the code ERIC, 30% off only the month of July. So go to Nutramedics.com, everything on the website, 30% off with the code ERIC. Don't forget to go to mystore.com and use the code ERIC. Order the coffee. There's coffee.
Ooh.
Coffee.
Ooh.
By mystore.com. Use the code ERIC. Thanks.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.